Yeah.
Dave.
What's that?
Dave, the music's over.
Oh. It's time.
It's time, Dave. We got to start the show. Come
on. That's right. It's 4 o'clock, and it's time now for Out of the Box.
It's time for Out of the Box to start, Dave. We got to start the show.
Okay, and you're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea Kauai Community Radio.
Tell them about what station it is.
I already did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I need to tell you now that Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you partnership with the following wonderful underwriters.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
That's right. Tell them that's right, Dave.
That's right. Okay, let's see. We have a great show in that we don't have anything planned.
Yeah, open show, everybody. Open format show.
Woo-hoo. No guests in the studio.
Nope.
Nothing going on. So we're going to be taking lots of calls.
Yep, lots of calls.
And hopefully we won't be doing a lot of talking. Maybe we'll play some music. I don't know. But
probably not.
Maybe.
Who knows, right?
We'll keep
ourselves on our toes.
Yeah. But anyway, 826-7771 will be the number.
Or 826-7771.
Yeah. That's the same number.
It is.
We have a toll-free number for our folks over in Oahu if they want to call in.
Let them call on the local number.
Everyone's got a cell phone. Everybody uses a cell phone.
Yeah, you get a cell phone.
You
use
get free
it.
Long distance.
826-7771. If you have to dial 808 first, dial 808 first. And we got a call already trying out the number. See if it works.
Okay, I got to get the board set up for the phones. I'm not ready yet.
All right, well, we can wait just a moment. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box. Your telephone is working.
Great. That's good. Aside from the fact that I always enjoy your show, and I'm glad that KKCR can accommodate you. It was big news this last week. They found the remains, the 34-year-old of the girl that was murdered along with her boyfriend, like in 1975. What is that, 34 or 5 years ago? And let me tell you.
No, it's more than that.
38?
Yeah, let me tell you, I mean, that shook a lot of people. You know, I mean, for me too, because I lived back in Honolulu back then. It was such a small, little, tiny place. And it seemed like after a few weeks, after the murders happened, you know, basically, people, the local people, because like I say, Honolulu and the North Shore are such a small area, everybody basically figured out who did it.
Oh, because they just sort of count heads and you're like, all right, well, I didn't do it.
Well, yeah, exactly, you know. And basically, the assumptions, I'm sure, were correct. The people was just a group of these bad boys, you know, notorious, terrible people, you know, who did this crime that lived out on the North Shore. And hopefully, you know, even though the story was there's a group of these people, like 4, 5, 6 people, and, you know, a number of these people are already dead, but hopefully there's a couple of these people that are still living that are righteously nervous right now. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know how this new investigation will proceed. I mean, any kind of, like, conviction or anything like that is probably nil to nothing. But, you know, one of the things, the innuendos about the whole police investigation at the time.
What year was this at the time? When did this happen?
75?
This is 79. Right?
79, okay.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the gruesome details were that the guy immediately got shot in the premises of his house, and they abducted this poor young girl from Florida and held her captive in the house for X amount of days and repeatedly raped her and then killed her. And obviously they buried her right there at Honolulu by this river. And let me tell you, there's a lot of shocked, I'm repeating myself, yeah, excuse me, there's a lot of startled, shocked people and more than anybody, possibly a couple of the perpetrators that are probably still living. You know, and like I said, basically everybody figured out, you know, who did it. You know, and one of the scandals about the event, and it may or may not be true, it's not for me to judge, but most everybody that you talk to would agree to it, that a couple of these killers were relatives of the then police chief, Paul Say. Was his name. I don't know if he's still living or dead right now. I have no idea.
34 years ago now.
Yeah, he's probably dead, right? I don't know. But everybody kind of concluded, you know, that was because it was, you know, that was one of the reasons, because they never found the body of the girl, that was one of the reasons why these guys, you know, kind of got off. And because the police investigation was lackadaisical, to say the least, you know. And
you're saying that the remains were recently discovered.
Well, they were. They were discovered this last June, according to the paper. It just came out just a couple of days ago. They had to do DNA tests. They got some relatives of this girl in Florida, and they matched up. And it's the girl, this poor girl.
Well, that's really a tragedy.
It's such a tragedy for all the people that love the aloha, the beauty of Honolulu Bay and the North Shore of Kauai, you know, which is the most beautiful place in the world. There's so much love in Hawaii. It's one of the most brutal crimes that ever happened out there. And it never got solved, to the dismay of so many people that basically knew who did it. And if you talk to hundreds and hundreds of people today, they'd still say, they could still rattle off the names of these few individuals, you know, because they were the notorious bad boys, most of them anyway. There was a couple of sidekicks that were lived out and on the North Shore, you know. And like I say, I'll repeat it once more, you know, there was a huge, viewpoint from the people that just lived in the area, that the reason why that there was never any no one ever got busted for the murder was because a couple of these murderers were basically related by not by exactly they were like Paul Sake, police chief, was not their father, but
father-in-law or something like that.
Father-in-law, something like that, a close family relative. And let me tell you, even though there's a lot of good policemen in this world, they have to deal with a lot of dangerous people and solve a lot of horrific crimes, and I honor them for that. You know, in Hawaii, it's just like anywhere. You know, if you know a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who is a judge, you know, you might get off. You know, I mean, or if you know a friend of a friend of a businessman or this or that, they might give you a good deal on a product or now, something like that. It's
now,
like,
caller, do you think that they're going to be able to convict somebody or charge them with this crime now?
I don't think they will, because it's been so long, and obviously if there's any of these people that are still alive, which I think they are, you know, because like I say, there's about five or six people involved. It came to the general consensus that this is the truth and the fact, and most of them are dead. But apparently, you know, there may be a couple of these characters still alive, and I hope they're sweating,
right.
You know, because...
Okay, well, yeah,
and who knows what will come of this latest thing that happened. But,
now, where
you know,
did you hear about this?
As parents go, you know, they get a little bit of sense of closure. But as far as Honolulu goes, you know, everybody should hope that, you know, that a new investigation would maybe find something to be able to convict somebody of that horrible crime that happened way back when. Because it was just a horrible thing, and a lot of people in Hanalei, when they read that article the other day, were totally shook up by it, because we all remember it really well. And that's really all I have to say.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate
thanks
that call.
Thank you very much.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, thanks for standing by. You're welcome to Out of the Box.
Yes, I was just listening to the speaker, the caller that just hung up, and I just wanted to comment that that I have a brother who was a policeman in Hanalei for years and years and years, and in the service as well, and I think to assume that it was local people who did it, we know for a fact through the records that people who have moved here have brought a lot of things with them and not nice things. So we really need to be careful of who, you know, what we're saying about each other.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, caller.
In reference to, they were relatives of the chief of police. I believe some of that may be true in terms of, you know, that everybody knows everyone, but to come out and say it, I think, is a disgrace for the family. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you for calling in, caller.
Okay. Interesting story. I hadn't heard any of that here so far. So that was before my time here.
Yeah,
let's
me
go
too.
Back to the phone.
Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
I just want to respond to that last call with a quick, simple little gesture. It was local people that committed the murder. They were lived out on the north shore of Hanalei. They weren't from Waimea or Lihue. They weren't from Oahu. They weren't friends with this guy, these people from the mainland. It was a group of people, bad boy thugs, that had notorious reputations as being so, that lived out in Hanalei. They were mighty terrors, a few of these guys, you know, that if they wanted to make trouble for you back then, you'd have to leave the island.
Because, well, you know what, caller?
That's all there is to it. There's no insinuation that it was anybody else. And this is by the count of thousands of all the people that.
Right, but we're not going to do today or on the air.
We don't need to argue about
exactly.
It. Exactly. It was a terrible thing, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It does have a little bit of reflection. Because everybody knows, aside from the fact there's so much love and aloha, there's also a lot of Haole hate. And back then, it was, you know, man, you could get beat up so easily with no repercussions. There wasn't even a police station at Princeville. They had to drive all the way out from Kapaa. You know, and let me tell you, there were so many beatings and this and that happened, perpetrated on Howleys by local people. And that's just a plain old fact.
Okay, all right, thank you very much for calling. Aloha.
Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Out of the Box.
It wasn't me.
All right, well, hey, that's three of us right there.
Okay, we got that narrowed down. Thanks a lot.
All right, okay, aloha.
My goodness,
okay.
What a way to start the show.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens when we leave it open. Well, I got something even better than that here.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how to follow that other story, though.
Well, you just started. You just go for it,
okay.
Dave.
What do you think is the leading cause of death in children?
Guns.
Guns? No, that's not.
Because, you know, there's all those kids who are going to school armed now to make more safety in schools.
Nope, it's not guns.
Not guns.
It used to be accidents.
Okay.
When kids fall down, they hurt themselves, they die.
Cars.
Sometimes. Nope, not cars.
Abuse by alcoholic
this
parents.
This was very surprising to me. I'll tell you what it is. It's cancer. Cancer is now the leading cause of death in children.
Cancer is killing kids?
Cancer is killing kids.
It's the number one killer of kids.
Living on Earth is killing kids.
Wow. That's
and
crazy.
This is according to the American Cancer Institute. Cancer is the leading cause of childhood death in the United States with 13,000 new diagnoses each year.
And when is that a new phenomenon? Like, did that?
It is. It is. I've got the statistics over the last 110 years.
My goodness.
It used to be 64 cases per 100,000, 64 deaths per 100,000 children, and now it's triple that, almost 200 deaths per 100,000 children.
Wow.
And so this is really shocking to me. Cancer in the in America has seen a sharp increase over the last 100 years in all age groups. And let's see, in fact, the chance of an American being diagnosed with some type of cancer in his or her lifetime is now 1 in 2. So 50% chance.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like those odds, Dave.
No. So the dramatic increase over a relatively short time suggests environmental factors are at play here.
Yeah, and they're not playing either.
No. And so this article here is from, let's see, TruthStreamMedia.com. They say, what is the causing all this cancer? Two big factors may be chemicals and electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah, well, we live in a very, you know, polluted world these days.
Right.
And we're the ones doing it, so.
70 to 90% of any average grocery store is filled with processed foods full of chemical additives and preservatives.
Yeah, that's all garbage.
Many of which are genetically modified. In addition to the fact that the vast majority of U.S. food is tainted with pesticides.
Yeah, or filled with high fructose corn syrup.
And so, let's see, multiple studies have come to the same conclusion. Continual exposure to the multitude of carcinogenic pesticides in this country's food supplies is killing our children. This is really shocking to me. I would never have guessed this. But, you know, the article goes on to say how that they used to have a rule, the Delaney Clause.
I've heard of that
Delaney,
before.
Yeah. Which basically says you can't add anything to a food product if that material has been shown to cause cancer.
That's called the Delaney
the
Clause?
The Delaney Clause. But, you know, that has since been tossed out.
Wait a second. Why did they toss that?
It was a ruling by Michael Taylor, former Monsanto vice president for public policy and our current food safety czar in this twilight zone we all live in.
Wait, I'm starting to smell something, Dave.
Something stinks. Something in the radio station. Is it Shaka Kiaka?
I don't think so. I think it stinks more like Monsanto.
Yeah. He wrote an interpretation, the de minimis interpretation of the Delaney Clause, legal and policy rationalization, which basically said, a little bit of carcinogenic material in your food can't be bad for you. So they allow.
Wait a second. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And so.
They just want to, no, it's okay. You'll only get a little bit of cancer.
Okay, another potential factor is the continual bathing of our growing children's brains and bodies in electromagnetic radiation.
Hold on a second, Dave. I've got a phone call here coming in.
Okay. Estimates show that those of us living...
No, in my pocket.
In modern-day America are experiencing 100 million times more electromagnetic frequency than our grandparents did in their time. So 100 million times. You're probably getting a little more now, right now, since your cell phone's ringing.
What was that? I wasn't paying attention there.
Cell phone towers.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Appliances, computers, even cars now.
It's crazy. Cancer for kids.
We're killing our children with cancer. I mean, it used to be, you know, it's something that, you know, 40, 60, 80-year-old people would get. Now children are getting and dying of cancer.
That's not right.
That's incredible.
That's not right.
It's the food. It's the environment. It's... I don't know what else it might be, you know? Can you think of any other reason why that might be the case?
God could be smoting us.
Smoting our children with cancers?
Yeah.
I'm
reaching here.
Yeah,
it's
really
doesn't
bad.
Sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right. So, I mean, that is like, you know, should be the wake-up call for us to say, you know, what we're doing is not... working is not safe.
Either that, or it's the good night call for us. It's either the wake up call or the good night call, because we got to do something about that. That's not right.
So it's either something that the children are eating, drinking, breathing, inhaling.
Environmental factors.
You know, playing in. Or it could be things that they're exposed to even before they're born, for that matter.
Well, they're in,
or their immune systems are compromised.
Sure.
And that, you know, that used to be that people were subjected to these chemicals or to different challenges, but their bodies were able to overcome them.
Yeah, more robust immune systems could defend them more effectively.
Right. So I'm not sure what it is. And this article here, you know, just postulates on a few potential causes, but I find this very disturbing.
Yeah, that is bad.
Okay, that's all I've got on that. Any more good news over on that side there?
Well, let's see, some good news. Yeah, I guess we had some good news. Last time we did our show, we had Joel Guy in the studio with us, and we were talking about districts for Kauai, something that the County Charter Review Commission was looking at for Kauai, and this is in terms of how we elect our council people to the council. And after that, I did some research, and I found out that the Big Island has a system very much like the one that we're looking at for here, for Kauai. And so I thought, since, you know, I'm like all like, well, I don't have all the answers, I'll just talk to people who do. And so I sent some emails off to the Big Island, and I've heard back from 1/3 of the council members over there. And they say that they're all elected by districts, and they really like it a lot. I was kind of surprised by that. One of the things that was the most surprising was that a lot of people have expressed concern that if we elect people by district, that they'll only care about their own district and they'll only work for their own district and they won't do anything for the other districts. So they won't work for the big picture. And so I asked the folks on Big Island about that, and they said that, in fact, it's the very opposite, that the relations that they have to each other on the council are better now that they're elected by district. And the reason is because, and this is makes sense if you think about it, but none of them are in competition with any of the other ones to get elected. You know, so because they all ran against other people to get on the board, and the person from the North Shore can be very collegiate to the person from the East Side because they're not ever in competition with each other. And the person on the North Shore knows what the North Shore issues are, and the person on the East Side knows what the East Side issues are, and so they actually have more respect for each other because they are relying on each other. Since they're playing kind of a zone defense for the island issues, they rely on each other more, and there's more collegial respect. So I was pretty impressed by that, and that was a surprising thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting viewpoint on it.
Yeah. They went to districts back in the early 90s, and so they've had almost 20 years of districts now, and they've been through their first every 10 years. When you have a district, it's equal population in each district. And in order to get equal population, you have to go by the freshest census data.
Yeah.
And so they've had theirs for 20 years now, and so they've been through two reapportionment cycles now, because every 10 years you have the federal census.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have to redraw the district lines to make sure they're still even.
To gerrymander them a little bit?
A little bit, but, you know, because it's an island, you know, there's not that much gerrymandering that you can do. Because all of the outside boundaries are fixed, so then it's you're only dividing up and inside from there.
Right, and the demographics probably don't change all that much. Well, I guess you get some resort areas over there on the Big
Island. In the last election or last census cycle on the Big Island, they had the west side, I think, got another district, and Hilo lost a district because of, you know, unequal population growth.
Right.
But, the council members over there were real nice, answered all my questions. Two of them did. One of them didn't.
Why is that?
Because I won't say any names, but she or he said she was too busy servicing the issues of his or her constituency and didn't want to answer any hypothetical questions from some other island like Kauai.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I thought, well, where's the aloha in that?
Yeah, and where's the sense of democracy, you know,
yeah,
spreading their form of democracy?
Yeah,
around,
a democratic camaraderie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I explained to them, like, hey, you know, we only want what you already have, you know. I wish we had somebody who was serving our district constituency because I wish we had districts, but we don't have them. So that's kind of snotty, I thought.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't understand that attitude there.
Yeah.
But so anyway, where does this stand here? It's been proposed. It's been discussed.
It's been.
But anybody ever come up with a referendum on this issue or anything? I mean, is it going to be coming up again?
It's going to be coming up again next month when the Carter Charter Review Commission meets again. They'll discuss it some more. And hopefully, eventually, it'll get on the ballot for next election, and we can vote on it. That'll be really pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
And if folks are interested, you can send me email, and I'll forward that to the rest of the folks on the Charter Commission.
So they were proposing, what was it, five?
No, seven.
Seven districts, and then they'll be also, oh no, they'd all be districts.
They'd all be districts, and they'll all be equal population. And the thing that's really nice about Kauai is nobody lives over on, Nepali coast area. Yeah. So you start in Hanalei, and then you move over until you get the average number of people in each district, and then you draw a line, and then you do the same thing from the other side. So I don't think there's going to be that much gerrymandering
seven
here.
Seven districts, so 10,000.
Yeah, roughly.
So I'd bring you to almost Anahola, probably.
Yeah, to Anahola.
Anahola to part of Kapaa, and then South Kapaa to...
And then to Lihue, and then Hanama'u.
Kapaa is probably... 20,000.
Yeah, so there's two districts there.
Yeah,
and then you have Hanama'ulu and Lihue and Puhi. That's about 20,000 there.
Yeah, so there'll be two districts there. And then
You got the South Shore.
So
and then you got the West Side.
Koloa, Poipu area would probably be about 10,000. Uh-huh. And then the whole West Side there.
Yeah. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be, I think it will change Kauai politics in a way that will have a fundamental, enduring, positive impact.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting for the term limits to kick in so that we can start to, see new faces on the council. It seems like a lot of the people that are on there now have been there for quite a while.
Well, one thing that was interesting with Big Island is they have nine people on their council because it's a bigger island. But six of them are new. Six of them are first terms.
All right.
And so it seems like with districts you get more fresh faces more often. And they have just two-year terms there, too. So what I heard from one of the constituents there was that if, if somebody gets on the council and they're kind of a clunker, they don't get reelected.
Yeah.
They let them shuffle around for a couple of months, and then that's it.
Right, because, like in the at-large system, all you need to have is a core constituency in one part of the island there really to... get enough votes.
Right. But when you're by your district, people have
a little more competition there.
There's more accountability because if you're not delivering for your district, then they're going to hand you your head on your plate. And also, the other thing is true, too. If they see when they send someone from their district to the council, if they're not getting along with the other council members, boy, that doesn't work well either.
Yeah.
So, because you need to get things done for your council, for your district. So you need to work well with the other council people. So you can't be playing hanky-panky and horse trading or any of that kind of stuff like that because you'll get booted in a heartbeat.
Right.
So I think districting is real promising, and I think this is a story that I'd like for us to cover as it continues to develop.
Yeah.
So we'll be...
You've seen some areas where they have a combination of some at-large and some district representatives. So I don't know if there's a... definite advantages to that system or what?
I don't know if there's an advantage to it or not. Me personally, I don't favor that because I want to have all my council members on the council. I want them all to be equal. I don't want some person to say, well, I was elected for the whole island and you only are serving Hanalei. So I get, what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. I want them all to be equal. I want them all elected in the same way. I want them all to represent their own district. And then we can come together from all the different corners of the island, and we'll sit down at one table and we'll decide the issues for all island. I think that would be a really good way.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, we'll continue to follow that. So that would likely be on the ballot next year then, right?
Yeah, 2014.
No election this year here.
Yeah.
Which I don't like. I wish there was an election. I wish there was a...
You want an election every year?
Well, yeah. I mean, November is election time, and so when there's no election, I feel like I'm left out of the process.
You want to flex your election muscle, huh?
Yeah, I want to, have something to vote on. I want them to ask me my opinion on some issues or something like that. Even if we're not electing candidates or something like that, there should be some referendum on there, referenda, or there should be, polls to say, what do you think about this issue of districting or something like that? And then we can kind of... focus on those things. Because it's not like there's nothing happening. It's just that they're not asking us our opinion any this year.
Right, they're just taking care of it.
Right, you know, it's kind of like KAC board. You know, when you don't hear from them, it's not because nothing's going on. It's because they're not letting you in on what's going on.
Well,
they're doing their business over there, and they're just not involving you.
It's funny that you bring up KAC, because that's what I was going to bring up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, with KAC, they do have an election every year.
Right.
Because they have 9 people on their council, and you're elected for not a 2-year term, but a 3-year term. And there's 3 of them get elected each year.
Every year, right.
So that means they have an election every year. And so if you wanted the opportunity to flex your voting muscle, Dave, you can vote with KIAC coming in February.
Yeah,
next year, March
or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and we'll stay posted on that one, too. Never want to let KIAC slip from our horizons.
Yep. I haven't heard much from them lately.
Well, they were in the news today.
Oh, really? I didn't see the news today. What were they all about today?
They want to charge new money for old meters.
Is this for replacing your meters?
Yeah.
Because they had a policy that by September 30th, you could have your new smart meters swapped out for your old meter if you wanted to, for free.
Right, for free.
Until September 30th.
So right, but it's October. It's October now.
Right.
So now, so check this out, Dave. For the same exact service that was free,
yep.
Now it's going to cost you $80.
$80.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm expecting one of these days that they're going to say, oh, all you people that now have the old meters, we're going to charge you $80 to keep them.
Oh, to keep your meter.
Yeah, because, they were arguing before that there were costs involved. Now they have to send somebody out to read your meter. And so
I think before they just were kind of on their heels with one PR gaffe after another.
Yeah.
And so I think to help the matter just kind of go away, they just backtracked a little bit and said, okay, you can do whatever you want to for a little while.
Right.
But now they're feeling more healthy again. And so they're kind of creeping back in your face.
Right.
That's just my opinion. And
I'd still like
that may not be anyone else's opinion.
I'd still like to get a change to their bylaws that would say every time that they have to go to the PUC for...
Oh, to get their permission, yeah.
I think if they spend more than $2 million or something like that.
You know, I used to know this number, but it's slipping from me right now.
Yeah, so if they have an expenditure over a certain threshold.
Right, I think it's $2 million.
I thought it was $2 million. Then they have to
go to the PUC. Right, and the PUC, as a regulatory agency who's looking out for our interests.
Supposedly.
They'll say yes or no, but they have to go to the PUC.
Yeah, but I think they should come to their ratepayers also.
No, first.
First, yes.
Yeah.
First, before it gets implemented.
I think so, too.
Because, the smart meter thing, you know, that cost us $6 million.
Yeah.
And we didn't find out about it till afterwards, you know, and so, you know, it was.
But the PUC found out about it. But
it wasn't reported.
I think the principle involved there for me is that if KIAC has to go to somebody else to ask permission to do something, that before they do that, they should come to us first because we are KIAC.
Right.
We are the owners. We are the ratepayers. We are the members. And that should mean something. And if it doesn't mean anything, then who are we fooling?
Yeah.
So I agree with you, Dave.
All right. Well, there we go. First. No, it's not really. But anyway, here, I've got another story.
All right, what do you got there?
A couple of days ago, there was an interview in the Guardian newspaper.
Out of the UK?
Well, they actually have a U.S. news bureau now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I did not know that.
Yeah. And they're quite popular, and they report a lot of things that a lot of other newspapers will not, I think, because they're independent, for one. It was set up by an independent trust. So somebody some rich person who died put their money into a trust to operate this newspaper. So it's administered or it's refereed by their own editorial board, not by, another corporation or anything.
Interesting.
That. So, you know, they can report things that other people cannot.
Or will not.
Will not, yeah. And so they interviewed Seymour Hersh.
So I've heard of him.
He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning...
he's an investigative reporter,
Yeah. He's the one that originally blew the whistle on the My Lai Massacre back in the Vietnam War. And he was
You should refresh people's memory about
My Lai Massacre. It's when U.S. forces basically wiped out an entire village.
The village of My Lai.
My Lai. And there was a sergeant there who... called it off in the middle of it. You know, he said, "Hey, this is we're not supposed to be doing this." And he single-handedly stopped the attack. He was
demoted.
He was reprimanded somehow. But then eventually, some people were held to account for that. You know, there's this iconic picture of a bunch of young Vietnamese children running out of a smoking village, and this one girl naked running down the street, you know,
With napalm all over her.
Well, not on her, but, you know, in the area. Whatever. So that was My Lai from My Lai. Huh. But anyway, Seymour Hersh, investigative reporter, he, in the article, in the interview, and I don't have the full transcript of that, but he talks about the timidity of the journalists in America and their failure to challenge the White House and the government on unpopular issues.
Does he use the adjective craven?
Craven. It sounds like a word he would use, but I don't see that in here yet. But anyway, and he says, don't even get me started on the New York Times, which he says spends so much time carrying water for Obama than I ever thought they would. Or the death of Osama bin Laden. Nothing's been done about that story. It's one big lie. Not one word of it is true.
Oh, gee, that's a shame.
He says of the dramatic U.S. Navy SEALs raid in 2011. So he is saying in this article that the official account of the capture or murder of Osama bin Laden.
Well, you can call it the capture murder.
One big lie. Huh. Not one word of it is true. He's writing a book, should be out soon, in which he has a whole chapter on this. Now, there was a documentary that came out in the Pakistani news a couple of weeks ago where they interviewed all these people in, that lived in...
Islamabad, yeah.
Abbottabad,
okay.
And the account that they had there was that there was helicopters that came in, and they said, you know, we know the guy that's there. It wasn't Osama bin Laden. He was never there. And the guy that they had pictures of was not him. He's the guy that owned the house. But that helicopters came in, dropped people down there. There was shooting, whatever. They picked up some people. They started to go up, and the helicopter crashed.
Oh, dear.
Everybody on there was killed. There were no Navy SEALs in the operation whatsoever. They were all Pashtuns, is what they said. They were all Pakistani.
Well, wait a second, Dave. If that's true, then the official story is completely false.
That's true. And so, and since then, the entire SEAL Team 6 has been killed. I mean, they died, some under mysterious circumstances, and about... a dozen of them in one helicopter crash in Afghanistan.
When was all that?
Just over the last year or so. And so there's nobody to, you know, dispute that account now.
How convenient.
I know it. There's, there's no photos of this supposed bin Laden, and there's no DNA evidence or anything like that. The whole story was one big lie, according to Seymour Hersh.
Hmm.
And his book will be out soon, and you can get it.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, aloha, gentlemen.
Aloha.
Yes, what were you talking? What was that health issue? I just turned your radio station on. What were you talking about?
Cancer with kids
and children.
Yeah, well, considering that we have something like, 80,000 chemicals which have never really been tested.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's each year or in total, but I mean, you know, it's like we're really throwing our systems off, but... what I'd recommend is that when a child or a cow, baby, you know, baby cow is born, the mama in her milk puts out the kind, all kinds of really things that help the baby survive. And I would recommend it to your listeners and to you guys. It's called colostrum.
I've heard of that.
Well, anyway, it's like it ain't cheap, but it's from the first milking of first or second milking of the cow. They don't get it from humans, at least the product I get. And this will strengthen your immune system. And because I really believe that you never know. I mean, you know, regular flu. I mean, I remember back in the 70s, I had some pretty bad couple sessions of flu. But since then, I've never gotten the flu shot because I don't really trust the government. You know, and then like the swine flu, you know, incident. I don't know if you guys remember that. Where people actually got the swine flu from the vaccinations.
Right.
But anyway, the thing is, to strengthen one's immune system, it's really important. And then if you can get some, another source is GMO, non-GMO whey.
Well, which is it? Come on.
Yeah,
come on
non-GMO
now.
Whey, if you can get that, that also will,
okay,
will strengthen your immune system. So I'm doing everything I can because I don't need, you know, no Gucci clothes or furniture. I need my health.
Well, what about push-ups?
Yes, I've been doing that.
And sit-ups?
And watching out for big trucks.
And sit-ups?
But I want to get to. I want to make my own comment about my own personal opinion from the, about the New York Times.
The gray lady.
Well, I got my other words for that.
The lovely gray lady.
Yes, the lovely. I mean, not, no, not even lovely. I mean, it's worse than that.
Worse,
I mean, I consider the New York Times, even though it is quite interesting at times, yes, and, of course, the 60 Minutes program, I think these two agencies are actually arms of the Israeli Defense Force.
You think they're Mossad publications?
I really do. I mean, excuse me for suggesting that they'd be prejudiced towards Israel, you know.
Well, that's okay.
But I think they are, and I mean, I don't believe their political slant on the things. And then the third topic, gentlemen, you know, I got this, my hands on a thing called KUIC Claims versus Kauai Facts. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah, sure.
And it, one of the, a couple of the items, it says number one that the smart meters put out up to 190,000 times a day, these little pulses, and then
pulses of pulsed microwave energy.
Right, and then on fact four, it says that according to the Santa Cruz Department of Health, a smart meter emits 100 to 450 times more radiation than a cell phone. That's factoid four. So I don't know where you can get this. I just picked this up someplace. And I just don't really believe in authority. I'm a skeptic about everything, even myself. So I mean,
well, which is it? I mean, do you or do you not agree with what you just said?
Yes, I agree. But I mean, point is, if I get more information tomorrow, I might alter my opinion or judgment. But I think that the thing that really, in terms of one health, one should be concerned about is, considering the facts on the ground, look at the bird flu. Now, because most humans on this earth do not have immunity to the bird flu, and that's something like 80% of the people, at least in China and Vietnam and Thailand, when exposed to the bird flu, pass away. So because there are no built-up resistance to this, that's the thing we have to really worry about.
Well, I was going to say, we're just going to let you talk and talk until someone else calls in. And the lines are open right now at 826-7771. Yeah. So you can just keep going.
That's the one to make.
Well, call it. Do you get the vaccines?
I don't believe in vaccines because I think they put some funky preservatives, Dave and
Mercury.
Johnson,
in
them.
In
so
there.
I just like, I made a mistake because I thought I was going to travel, so I got the hepatitis B because I thought, well, what if I have some funky sex food or whatever? But that was my mistake. I shouldn't have gotten it, but I got it. So nothing I can do about that. And luckily I'm so old, I got the polio vaccines in the 50s. Because later they say, you know, in the 60s, 70s, some of the polio vaccines were contaminated.
Mm.
So, I mean, I just think that one should stick with traditional Chinese medicine, you know, which has been around for 5,000 years.
Well, what do they know?
Yeah, what do they know? I spend a lot of my money on like, the, you know, organic herbage and to build up my immune system. So I think that, you know, this would be the way to go, to really research these traditions, like also the Ayurvedic in terms of India. And, you know, and China, and then, of course, you know what the number one treatment for cancer in Japan is?
Rice.
No, yeah, right. Not a $5 a pound, gentlemen. No, it's medicinal mushrooms.
Ah, the mushrooms.
Yeah, medicinal mushrooms. So it's
magic
like
mushrooms.
I think these, you know, I mean, Western medicine's only been around for 200 years, so I really trust the folks who've been around for thousands of years more than Western medicine.
Well, thank you for calling in with those views, caller.
I love your show as always. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We've got another caller who's been patiently standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box with Dave and Jonathan Jay. Aloha.
I got a quick question about the smart meter.
Sure.
Would they be harmful more in a long-term exposure than a short-term?
Well, if they're harmful, then they would be more harmful a long-term exposure than with a short-term exposure. I think that you could say that without doubt.
So there's really no conclusive evidence that they are harmful?
There's evidence on both sides of the story. And so you have to, you know, try and decide, well, which evidence do you want to choose?
Mm. Oh, and about the Osama bin Laden, I'm very curious. Yes, they.
You went away for a second there, caller. Can you?
Oh, yeah. I'm driving. But it's very convenient that they discarded the body at sea, right? Mm-hmm. Give him a, you know.
Right. Which is not
salute and disappeared at sea. Yeah, very, very convenient.
Which is not Muslim tradition at all. I don't know what they were trying to say.
I know. It's like, it makes you want to think, like, you know, no DNA, body disappears. You know,
they can't release the pictures.
Yeah, no pictures. It makes me wonder, like, if it wasn't the president saying that himself, you would have a lot of doubt if anyone else told you a story, but there is no evidence.
Well, you know what? I'm one of those people that I have some doubt anyway. Even though it was the President of the United States who said it, that just isn't really washed with me.
Yeah, it's very, very mysterious, the whole thing. And there hasn't been much on the Internet or much people talking about that. They just kind of accepted, like, oh, yeah, we got him. Whereas with 9/11, you know, there were documentaries and a lot of people talked about it, how it was, you know, a false flag operation.
Sure, well, tens of thousands of people saw it with their own eyes.
Just accepted it, yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. People get, I don't know. You guys would probably have a better idea than I would.
Oh, well, you're wrong there, sir.
Well, we put it out on the airwaves so that you can decide what to do with it.
Yeah, us and Fox News, Dave.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
I don't want to say it.
Okay, right. Well, that's it. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, caller. Appreciate that.
Bye.
And we got another caller who's been standing by.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Welcome to Out of the Box.
You know, I think everybody should listen to Democracy Now. It's the best news that's available as far as I'm concerned.
I really like Democracy Now.
Why?
Good. I mean, thank goodness your radio station plays it, you know, because even though it's a hard time for people to tune in at noon, you know, I mean, I wish they'd play it twice a day, but, you know, one of the big...
Well, you're hardcore, that's why.
One of the big news factors, well, I used to be a news junkie, and I can't only handle so much before I get too depressed.
Exactly.
Right? But the big news today was there's this horrible prison called Angola Prison in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's funny because I always thought that Angola Prison, I mean, was in Angola.
Yeah, I know that it's a nickname probably for the prison because it refers, because it's a black, it's mostly for persecuting black people.
Mm, how nice.
And it's like a slave labor camp where they pick vegetables and can vegetables and stuff like that, right? And it's just got the most horrible reputation. And one of the things that's going on in America, and it obviously has been going on for a long time, because there's these three guys that were in solitary confinement for, like, this guy that got for 40 years.
Oh, I heard about this.
You know, and this one guy, you know, and the only reason why they put him, they trumped up murder charges. They said these three guys killed a guard, a black guard, prison guard, and there was no evidence to convict them.
But it was overturned, yeah?
This guy who spent 40 years in solitary confinement is dying of total liver cancer.
Right.
He's ready to die any moment. And so people appealed to the prison system, please let him out on a compassionate release so he can die outside of the prison, and the warden goes, no, we're not going to do it, et cetera, et cetera. The legislators, et cetera, no. And then finally, just yesterday, this judge, this Superior Court judge from Louisiana said, you're going to let him, he didn't get a fair trial, you let him go.
Yeah, the conviction was overturned after 40 years in solitary confinement.
And the warden is so pompous and arrogant, he goes, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm going home right now. And the judge called him back and said, if you don't do it, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court and you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And so they did, they let this guy out of for 40 years of solitary confinement, which is just like, it's like the most inhumane torture,
that
America loves to do now. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, and this poor man who's probably innocent and wrongly convicted, you know, his health took a turn for the worse, you know, just a few hours, 6 to 7 hours after he got released, you know. And so he doesn't have only a few days, unless a miracle happens, to live, but... You know, when I was talking earlier about, you know, the differences between Hawaiians and Howleys, you know, racism and political social persecution is worldwide. It's not just in Hawaii. I mean, I'm aware of all the tragic circumstances of what the European American colonials did to Hawaii. I mean, they stole Hawaii. They continue to plunder, like the GMOs, the ultimate Howley predator, you know, the GMO companies. Their Hawaiians are still getting the royal shaft, right? You know, but it happens all around the world. You know, and people all around the world, including Hawaii, have to stand up for their rights and do whatever you can. You know, but it seems it's such a difficult thing. It's daunting. It's a daunting task, you know. And so, like I said, you know, crimes can be committed. It doesn't matter what gender or race or cultural background you're from, you know. I mean, you can either be a good person or a bad person. Anyways, aloha. Have a good day.
Well, thank you, caller. I appreciate that. I think that's one of our more significant soliloquies for the day.
Yeah. Okay. Where were we?
You know, I can't remember where we were.
Before we let's see. We're talking.
You know, I could tell something right now.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
I came across this really cool thing when I was messing around on the internet, and it's called Stingray Sam.
Stingray Sam.
Stingray Sam. It's these really cool, like 10-minute adventure movies, and it's hilarious because they're these space cowboys.
Is it animated?
It's a little bit animated, and it's a little bit real life action movie shots. And a lot of it's in black and white, and the whole thing is like, it's kind of an art film, but it's so well put together and so creative, and it's a musical. And so you have these singing space cowboys cruising through space in their little tiny spaceships, and everything's all retro, kind of like Buck Rogers. Like when the spaceship is zooming through, you can actually see the smoke that it's putting out. It's totally hilarious. And it's just the sweetest thing, and the music is awesome. It's awesome music. It's kind of like alt Americana rock. And I just can't speak more highly of it. I saw this stuff, and each one is a little 10-minute adventure, and it's The Adventures of Stingray Sam, brought to you by Liberty Chewing Tobacco, which is this totally fictitious, made-up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, with crickets as the logo.
So it's a cereal with the same action hero and every one of them. Okay.
Stingray Sam, and I think it's the Neutron Kid is his sidekick. And he goes on this adventure to save this little girl and bring her back to his dad.
Are they wearing superhero outfits?
No, they're wearing cowboy hats and kind of dusters, you know, because it's a western. It's a space western. But it's just a brilliant little series of movies. I think there's 5 or 6 of them. And it's just I couldn't speak highly enough of it. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's called Stingray Sam. You can go do a search on Stingray Sam, which probably we could do, and maybe you could pull some music up from it. But you can also go to stingraysam.com. Stingray Sam.
All right.
He's not a hero, But he does do a lot of stuff that most people don't do.
Oh, I mean, he's not fighting crime or anything?
No, he's just a guy. He's actually a lounge singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He gets conked on the head and gets brought off on this adventure. You'll see. You'll check it out. Stingray Sam.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
Okay, well, it's almost 5 o'clock, and why don't I take care of this station business here for the time being? I don't have to say that because I can just play this.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa.
And Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the following wonderful underwriters. Check these guys out.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural, biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina, Hawaii lifestyle.
Introducing Julio's Beach Burritos, coming soon to Kilauea, a blend of Hawaiian and authentic Mexican cuisine, open for breakfast and lunch. Traditional chorizo, machaca, chili colorado, and chili verde burritos. Also bacon and sausage burritos, and fish and shrimp tacos, too. The signs in Kilauea will direct you to Abuelita's recipes straight out of Mexico. Julio's Beach Burritos.
Yee Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yeecorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Abuelita.
Abuelita's recipes.
Abuelita. Yo tengo mucho hambre.
I can't wait till they open up there. That sounds like a good place.
You get hungry, just listen to it.
Yeah,
like, what are machacas?
I don't know what that is.
It sounds good, though.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Tasty. Okay, let's see. I want to let you know we got about an hour left in Out of the Box, and I'm your host, Dave Giroux.
I'm your sidekick for the afternoon, Jonathan Jay.
Jonathan Jay, Stingray Sam.
Stingray Sam.
Okay. Speaking of telephone numbers here, I saw this funny thing on the internet. There's the new Obamacare.
Wait a second. I just did a funny thing on the internet, Dave. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah. This is another funny thing.
Okay.
Okay. So this is Obamacare, the new Affordable Health Care Act just kicked in, and people are now registering for
that. Wait, it kicked in? I thought they shut the government down rather than let it kick in.
Well, they haven't shut this down yet because, Obama is proud of this program, and he wants to see it continue. So this is one of the things that's still continuing.
Well, it does may or may not have his name on it. So
Actually, Obamacare originally was...
Hillary Care, I thought.
It was coined by the Republicans, as a derogatory term to the Affordable Health Care Act. But after a while, Obama said, hey, I'll take, I'd like that term. I'm going to start using that myself. So now Obamacare, he just stole that away from me. He wouldn't let him use it as a derogatory statement. But
good for him.
But anyway, there's a toll-free number. If you have any questions about Obamacare and you want to sign up or know whether or not it applies to you.
How will Obamacare affect
there's
me?
There's a telephone number you can call.
Really? What is that number, Dave?
The telephone number is 1-800.
1-800-318. 2597.
So now, if you look up the letters that are associated with each of these numbers.
Oh, no. What is
this
spell?
It's 1-800-F, and then there's a space, and then there's a U, and then a C, and then another letter that comes after J.
H?
And then
is it H?
Then
that's before J.
And then there's a Y.
H-I.
And a O. And
it's
so basically it says, you want to know about Obamacare? 1-800-FU. you can't make that stuff up.
You can. That's exactly what you can do, Dave.
Somebody must have looked those numbers up and said, I hope they can't make something spell up out of these numbers here because, it cannot be.
I think you got hoodwinkered.
I looked at it. I checked the internet and the Obamacare number, and I looked up the letters.
Dave, you cannot believe everything you read on the internet.
I looked on the Obamacare website.
No, I don't. I disbelieve you.
Just, we had a call, but I didn't get through it quickly enough.
Please call back, caller.
But anyway, yeah, if you want to call 1-800, no, forget that.
826-7771. And then we've got someone who's just dialed those numbers. Aloha, hello? Caller. You're on the air, and we're going to ask you to turn your radio down.
Yeah, I've got to turn it off here.
There you go.
I have actually just a question. Well, yeah. It didn't turn off.
I love that sound, but it makes it hard to hear what you're saying.
Reverb to the max, huh?
I got it off.
The reason I'm calling is actually to ask a question of Dave. One time a few weeks ago, I was called in and was looking for a referral to a water lab that could test for pesticides, and the gal on the air said, Dave,
this is a serious question, caller.
Oh, yeah. There's a great pesticide laboratory in Portland, Oregon that I use a lot. It's called the Pacific Agricultural Laboratory in Portland, Oregon. And they'll, you know, this kind of sounds like a commercial or something like that for them, but I think it's a good public service because, you know, generally if you want to look at chlorinated pesticides, organophosphate pesticides.
For those of you who don't know, Dave is an environmental scientist in real life.
Right. Then, so. You know, you got to pay $1,000 to do with all those different scans, you know, but these guys can do 250 different pesticides on a single scan for a modest fee, let's say. So, yeah, just check out the Pacific Agricultural Laboratory in Portland, Oregon.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Aloha.
Boy, what a public service.
Yeah, I like those guys. Okay, well, let's see.
We're talking government shutdown here.
Government shutdown here.
Government shutdown.
And so supposedly the government shut down.
Here, hold on a second. Here, I have my statement prepared about the government shutdown. Are you ready for this?
Oh, sorry. I accidentally hung up on somebody. I didn't do that on purpose. Okay, please call back. Okay, so the Republicans in the House who did not want to raise the debt ceiling. I mean, the government is out of money and they owe more money than they're allowed to owe, so they have to petition to Congress to raise the debt ceiling, or they could, you know, cut their spending, I guess, if they wanted, but they chose to do this. But it was voted down by the House because some Republicans who didn't want to do that. So now they're getting a lot of flack for that. But let's go to the phones here. Since I hung up on this guy one time, I want to get him on.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box with Dave Giroux and Jonathan Jay.
A request.
Yep.
Would you please have the Persian scientist back on sometime?
Mr. Nassim Harman.
Yes.
That was quite interesting.
Sure.
I'd appreciate it if you would have him back on.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
Don't know when that's going to be, but it will happen at some point.
Okay, so phone's flashing. I don't know what's going on there. So anyway,
it could mean we have a caller, Dave. You going to give it a shot?
But there are three of them flashing at the same time. Hello, caller. Is there a caller on the line?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hey, how's it going? I heard you guys on the way home, and there was a caller as I came into my house. I hope I'm not repeating this, but the newspaper about those smart meters said that those 3,000 to 4,000 of us who opted out of the smart meters are going to now be charged $10.27 every single month because we don't want the smart meters.
Oh, really?
Oh, so the other shoe drops.
The other shoe drops.
So it costs to have them taken out and install the old one, but we just pay forever and forever because we don't want them invading our privacy. I think that's unfair, and it shows the aggressive nature of KIUC. And I don't know why we're called members, because if we were members, we'd be voting on this, and maybe the 10% of us that don't want them would be voted down. Maybe we wouldn't. But I don't recall anybody voting on charging us guys who don't want
them. And as a matter of fact, I'm really glad you brought this up, caller, because I was not aware of this. And I don't think that sounds kosher to me, Dave. What do you think about that?
I don't know what's kosher and what's not, but I don't like it.
Well, I tell you one thing. It's not blessed by rabbis.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, we're going to pay $125 a year just because we don't want them invading our privacy. It isn't.
Yeah, that's not right at all.
For me, it's not about the health benefits or the lack thereof, whatever, you know. I mean, but for me, it's, you know, I don't want you in my business. So don't put your stuff in my house, and now I got to pay to have my privacy from these people, and it's really kind of upsetting. And previously, I didn't have such a bad opinion of those guys, but now they're just another aggressive corporation, and we're not members.
Well, it's
the way I feel about it too.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for calling in about that. In fact, this is something that I'll pursue because I don't think that's right, and I don't think that you should have to do that, and I don't think anybody should have to be penalized.
I'm not going to pay it. Well, I don't have a smart meter, and I'm not going to pay that fee.
There you go. And I guess I would encourage other people who feel strongly about it to do the same, because that's not right. That's kind of a sneaky backdoor thing, and I never heard anything about that ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
So that's that stinks.
Yeah. Let's follow up on that. Okay. Well, we thought that things were a little quiet over in the KIUC front,
but they were
busy with their nefarious activities in the background.
Oh,
and we just didn't hear about it
till
it comes to the surface there.
Like a boil.
Okay. Government shutdown. So this political theater is going on. So, okay, one thing is that they didn't raise the ceiling. Now, one thing they said is, okay, if you delay the implementation of Obamacare for a year, then we'll raise the debt ceiling, you know. And, of course, they got a lot of grief for that because they've been trying to overturn Obamacare for years. I don't know. I mean, voted on it 43 times.
They voted on it. It's already passed. It's been in the Supreme Court. They declared it constitutional. It's the law of the land.
Well,
just
because the Supreme Court rules it constitutional doesn't make it constitutional. Does it? Except maybe by definition. But it really doesn't. Because, you know, those guys are bought and paid for, too, you know. And so just because their interpretation of a constitution is their own. But anyway, so they didn't extend the debt ceiling. So they offered a compromise.
A compromise.
Said no, you know, and they said no. So
what was the compromise?
Well, delay Obamacare, you know.
But that was their position. That wasn't a compromise.
Well, But they didn't want to raise the debt ceiling anyway. Now, this brings up a point, is that, you know, used to be every couple of years they'd reach the debt limit and they'd have to raise it up. And so they'd add another trillion to it and they'd be fine again for a
couple more
years.
Zeros on that.
But now we're going through this every 6 months. They got to add another trillion on it every 6 months or so. And so, you know, some of these congresspersons were morally opposed to raising the debt ceiling in the first place. And they didn't want to see is just go ahead and, you know, tack on more and more money to this debt, you know, which is a problem. You know, when it was $1 trillion, you know, going up to $1.1 trillion, that's not as big a deal. But now we're
$17
trillion. They want to go, you know, to $18, $19 trillion.
They say a trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Well, they said that about millions, I guess, but, you know, now we're into the trillions. But anyway, so, you know, is raising the debt ceiling the answer to the question? You know, I mean, is that going to solve all our problems if they just raise the debt ceiling?
Well,
I don't think so.
I tell you what about this so-called government shutdown.
Yeah.
And that is, how come the parts of the government that I want to see shut down are still going?
Like what?
Well, you know, if the government shut down, then the government wars should all be shut down.
Yeah.
And Guantanamo should be shut down. And the NSA should be shut down. They shouldn't be spying on people anymore.
Oh, but they got their brand new big facility.
No,
that's not been shut down.
No, you can't shut that down. Oh, no,
right.
No. But when I want to go to NASA and I want to download a picture of Jupiter, oh, no, NASA servers are shut down.
Now, doesn't it cost money to shut down a website? I mean, they run by themselves. And
it's all computers anyway.
Yeah,
so
you don't have to update them necessarily.
Yeah,
but
you need a little person there to press a button for you.
Yeah,
it's almost a JPEG.
Yeah, I think the computers do that. Robots do that.
So, you know, this government shutdown has been a big disappointment to me so far.
Right. Well, anyway, they're vilifying the Tea Party because a lot of these Republicans were Tea Party members.
So they kind of sound like
they deserve it. Yeah, these are crazy people who, you know, just want to shut down Obamacare when in reality, you know, they were voted in to be fiscally conservative.
By crazy people who wanted to shut down Obamacare.
By people who didn't want the government to go into so much debt. You know, but here's an interesting quote I found here. You know, the question Americans should be asking is not whether to raise the debt ceiling, but rather why is the federal government, which is authorized to create and issue interest-free money, instead borrowing that money at interest from a privately owned central bank, thereby plunging future generations of Americans into debt slavery to that bank. So, you know, we're raising the debt limit to borrow money from the central bank
to put more people in debt.
When in reality, perpetuity, they should just be able to print more money interest-free, because that's in the Constitution.
Well, let's see what this caller has to say, shall we? Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Yes, aloha. Boy, I love your show. Oh, you guys get some great things on the table, man.
Thank you.
I just love it. I so appreciate KKCR and the fact that there's one source of truth coming out.
Well, I don't know if that's us or not, but thank you.
Well, you know, people's opinions are like belly buttons and Ocolis. Everybody's got one, but thank goodness there's a venue like you folks to express them. Now, a quickie thing from an old-time tax preparer on Kauai for over 45 years.
Okie doke.
I'd like to address the situation with the smart meters.
Okay.
And that charge, that extra $10.29, I believe it was. I myself got so disgusted, I started learning how to live without electricity in June of 2009. It ain't easy, but you can do it, folks. Anyway, my suggestion is this. Somebody needs to step up to the plate who feels strongly enough about the smart meters to coordinate a group effort to protect themselves legally from being sued or aggressed by the electric company.
Well, you know what? I would start off with talking to Adam Asquith.
To not pay that part of the bill,
you're
going to have to suffer possibly a lot of things and fines and whatever else they can come up with.
Well, what about the idea of putting it in some kind of escrow account for while it's being adjudicated?
An escrow account exactly is what I called it.
Woohoo!
You're a genius, darling.
Oh, thank you. Can you say that again, please?
It would be a good idea to, if possible, people who feel the same way, connect with you folks or somebody call in and say, step up to the plate.
You know, for starters,
I'm going to help coordinate this, and let's do it.
For starters, let me put my email address out there for folks so at least we can coordinate about it. And that's,
well, if you're already off electricity, generally the email is kind of difficult, like for me, but I do so appreciate your show. And do what you can do, kids, to protect yourselves and stand your ground.
Thank you very much.
God bless you all, and aloha, pumihana, ahui ho.
Mahalo nui loa.
Hey, hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
I was wondering, I thought at the time that the smart meters rolled out that if you opted out, you were told there was some kind of talk about there wouldn't be a charge.
Yeah, there was talk about that.
There was, wasn't there? I didn't just dream that.
Oh, no, you didn't dream it. But
they never promised it, though.
But they were very careful never to promise it. Because
Adam had his lawsuit.
That's right.
And they said that they would never force him to have a smart meter, but they didn't say they wouldn't force him to pay for not having one.
No, and so people at the time, such as myself, and I was not the only one, said, oh, yeah, watch real close their lips while they're talking, because at some point, the other shoe is going to drop on this one, and evidently, we've come to that time.
Yes.
So I want to give my email address out for folks. It's jjkawaii@gmail.com. That's JJ and then kawaii@gmail.com. And if you want to write me about your smart meter issue, I'd be happy to collect email about that and see what we can do. I think Adam Asquith is going to be an important person to talk to you about all this.
Yes, I'm very, very for the effort. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Aloha.
Yeah, I'm kind of outraged about it, to tell you the truth. I haven't really worked myself up into a good lather yet.
Yeah.
But I can tell I've got one coming.
Well, it's another example of how the board... The board is not a democratic organization, because they... You know, they didn't ask their members if they thought it was a good idea to do this.
Well, because they know that the members are not going to say.
It's obviously an important issue, because some people are very upset about it already, and we only heard about it 5 minutes ago. And so didn't they expect that, well, maybe there'll be some, you know, some draw, some flashback, what was the word there? There's be some something
blowback
in their direction. Yeah, some resistance to that effort.
Pushback.
So, you know, They haven't learned. They haven't learned a thing.
Well, they've learned that they can do what they want to do is what they've learned. No one's ever taught them different.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's see some of their actions. A couple of months ago, they had a strategic plan that they had updated, and they published it, and they invited everybody to come to public meetings. And they had four public meetings on the same day in different parts of the island, and a total of about 50 people showed up to the four meetings, total between all the meetings. And so they figured at this point that nobody is interested in what they're doing. You know, they say, we spent a lot of money. We spent a lot of time setting up these meetings, going to these meetings, putting together these PowerPoint presentations, and nobody showed up. Very few people showed up. So they said, you know, you people are all smoke. You don't care. You, when we give you the opportunity, you don't show up. But, you know, that assumes that, you know, people believe that going down to a town hall and sitting and watching a PowerPoint presentation by KIUC is in fact participating and is in fact going to make a difference. And maybe that is what people didn't show up for, because they didn't feel that there was really going to be anything there. And so I don't take it necessarily that people don't care. It's maybe that's not a way that people want to participate in their utility.
Well, you know, Dave, while you were doing that, I was doing a little math, and because I like to do math every so often, exercise my math muscle, and $10 and some change a month is $125 a year.
Yep.
Times 35,000 households.
No, wait. There's only 5,000 households that don't have smart meters.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
So 5,000 times 125.
All right. So that's
65,000.
It's $625,000 a year.
Isn't it 65,000? No, you're right. 600,000.
$625,000 a year. So that's $1.2 million every year. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Are you sure your math muscle is working properly?
Well, you know, maybe somebody could double check me on that one, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that sounds right. $600,000.
$1.2 million every 2 years. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, that's out of your pocket as well. It's not. I mean, it's kind of when the banks say, "Oh, our bottom line looks great because we're charging our customers more fees." It's like, well, yeah,
that blows.
You took that money from me.
That blows.
Know, just to put it in your pocket. Now, that demonstrates, you know, good capitalism on your part.
Huh.
I don't think so. You know, the same thing, the airline industry. They're bragging about how much money they're making now with all these baggage fees.
Right.
Yeah, but every time I go to fly, I got to pay another $50 to $75 for each bag.
Let's see what this caller has to say about all this. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air, caller.
Hello.
All right.
Maybe there was a glitch in the technology there. Perhaps call back if you were trying to.
Our call lines are now open. 826-7771. Call lines are open.
Okay. So government shutdown. So another part of this theater, this political theater that's going on. So Obama...
Kind of like a kabuki dance theater.
Yeah, so Obama decides what, how he's going to operate the government in the light of this failure to capitalize it. They don't have any money, so they got to start cutting costs.
You know what they should do? They should just put on an additional $10.29 a month fee.
On everybody,
just because they feel like it, and they make a lot of money like that.
Could be, yeah. So anyway, they said that he has to decide what to cut. So he figures out, oh, these are essential services that the government does, so we can't cut them back. Okay, so here's some things that are non-essential. So we're going to cut back the national parks, whatever, the NASA website, you know, various things like this, you know. And they think these are non-essential because they don't, you know, directly affect the national security of the U.S. But these are popular programs that people use a lot. And so
yeah,
it's kind of
irritating.
It is irritating. So they tried to intentionally irritate you. Not, you know, not to cut back public, you know.
They want to hurt you. They just want to irritate you.
Yeah, they want to irritate you, you know, so that you think, oh, well, we need to raise the debt ceiling quick so we can get these services back, you know. And not even address the issue of why do we need to borrow $1 trillion every year.
You know what
to
you
fund
are,
the government.
Dave? You know what you are?
What's that?
You're a social progressive fiscal conservative. That's what you are.
Oh, what part of the spectrum does that put me in? The purple group here?
Yeah, smack dab in the purple category.
But I believe, and, you know, occasionally you have to borrow some money. You want to buy a car, you don't have enough cash, you got to drive to work, you know, you got to borrow a little bit of money. You want to buy a house, you know, you may not have $1 million laying around. So you got to borrow money for that. So, you know, it's okay to go into debt periodically to do things, but you have to be within certain means. You have to be able to pay it back and everything like that, you know. We're way beyond that point with the national government, with the federal debt. I mean, $17 trillion now? I mean, how much is that? Get your math brain out, your math muscle out there. $17 trillion divided by 300 million people.
Divided by...
Okay, we're talking tens, if not $100,000 per person.
Hold on.
Does anybody expect us to really pay that back?
Well, hold on. I got a question.
Is that even possible?
Well, before we get to the math part, how many zeros in a trillion?
12.
I think I need a bigger piece of paper.
A sharper pencil. but we're way beyond ever believing we're going to pay this money back.
I'm not paying it. Are you going to pay it back?
No, I'm not going to pay it.
I'm not paying it.
And so, you know, I'm not going to pay $100,000. Toward this national debt.
And you know what?
What did I get out of it? A bunch of wars, you know?
A bunch of war. All I got for my taxes was a bunch of war. Well, you know, with this KIUC surcharge, that's like every month they surcharge you another $10.29, but you don't even get a T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So this government shutdown is, you know, it's great. I mean, there's... Both sides are wrong in this case.
I bet you're right about that.
So I think it's...
a pox on both of their houses.
Yeah, it's somehow... it's not going to work out well. I mean, we must look like fools to the rest of the world, for that matter. Here we are, the big, powerful empire, and we can't even keep our affairs straight. Congress is bickering back and forth and playing these games.
But Dave...
What's that?
Where's the news in that? That's not new. That's been the story for a long, long time already.
Oh, I guess I forgot that. It's been lost in the message here.
Hmm.
Anyway, but I think it would really be a problem if it goes on for very long.
Now, how long is a long?
It's been,
how long
been
is long?
17 years since the last time the government shut down over the debt crisis. And at that time... I don't exactly recall.
That was Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton.
Two or three weeks or something like that. I mean, it wasn't very long, I don't think. And I think, you know, the president would just tell Congress, you can't leave until you've passed this thing.
Is that what Clinton did at the time?
I think so. I think it came down to that. And they just got tired of arguing.
He wasn't too busy trying to be in court with Monica Lewinsky or something?
I think if we looked it up on the Internet, we could probably find it pretty quick. But I think it was 2 to 3 weeks. I was there at the time, but it's been quite a while. But it has happened, 20 times in the last 30 years or something like that? Anyway. So, but if it does not get resolved quickly... Then we've got a million federal workers, if not more, who are out of work. You know, there's a million people who are no longer getting their paychecks. That's a significant economic impact in itself right there. Then we've got these programs that are not being funded. And that's going to happen. You know, they're starting to cut back on things like food stamps, you know, program for women and infants.
Women and infants and children.
Women with infant children.
Yeah, WIC.
Yeah. Cutting out food programs for the poor.
Well, that actually makes sense, Dave, because, I mean, if you think about it, poor people, and especially women and infant children, are the ones who are responsible for this latest impasse in government with Washington, D.C. in the Beltway.
I think you're onto something there, Jonathan. Uh-huh. I think your math brain is just blew up and infected the rest of it.
Could be. But that's what you get for doing your math push-ups.
Okay, now, if they stop sending out Social Security checks, then you've got another several million people who can no longer make ends meet.
Well, and that, again, makes sense because seniors have been around a lot longer than most of us have. And clearly they're responsible for the prison impasse in the government in the Beltway in Washington, D.C.
So this is not to be taken lightly. It sounds like it's crazy and they're just a bunch of fools bickering, but it can have very serious impacts to a lot of people.
Well, and it seems
and could crash the economy, which is teetering on the edge to begin with.
Oops, I crashed the economy. Well, it seems like it's kind of a big mess anyways, because, like, for example, sending checks out to, to Social Security recipients, that doesn't take people to do that. That's all automated. It's all computers. So where's the cost involved in that?
I mean, the robots are just going to start sending checks out to everybody without somebody reviewing them.
I'm just saying, it seems like there's minimal cost involved because it would take time and people and energy and cost to get it set up in the first place.
Well, but it's not the cost of sending the check; it's the cost of the check itself. You know, to send somebody a $1,000 check, you got to come up with $1,000.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So anyway. I don't know why or where that money's going to come from, but if they don't figure this out soon, a lot of people are going to be affected. Okay, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for calling into Out of the Box.
You're welcome. Thank you for having the show. Slow day today. With regard to KIUC, we can add the 1027 or whatever it is to that other $10 charge. They charge us all anyway every month for billing us.
Oh, the billing surcharge. That's a good one.
Now we got $20 a month for them to do nothing.
What? What is this?
You know, I think that we're in the wrong business. I think we should all get into KIUC's business.
Well, actually, that was the next part of my reason I called. You know, it's quite one thing to identify these problems and to be subject to these slave masters, but the solution, of course, is for all of us to become totally independent. And then that gets down to the usual breakdown, starting with cost. And it occurred to me, since, you know, solar photovoltaics kind of expensive for the average person, but a $500 generator is not. And so I was thinking, I wonder how much it would actually cost in fuel costs to run my whole house, which I pretty much minimally use electricity anyway.
Well, I tell you one thing. If you had to have your own fuel and your own generator in your own backyard, you would start turning stuff off mighty fast.
Oh, I don't know, because I've never run one for day after day after day. I've only used them in emergency situations. But it occurred to me that when you go with all their surcharges and this, that, and the other, that it might actually be cheaper buy your own fuel and your own little power generator and just create your own.
Well, if your bill is $300 a month from KIAC, that works out to $10 a day. And so how much that's 2 gallons of gas, right?
Yeah.
So how much can you run on 2 gallons?
About $2.50.
Yeah.
And that's for less than 600 kilowatts, you know, between 400 and 600 every month.
So there you go. How much can you run on less than 2 gallons of gas a day?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the generator and spec it out and see how many hours per gallon it got and how much it's putting out.
Well, let's get the thing going.
It was just a thought, basically, with the idea being we need to distance ourselves from these folks, you know? I'm tired of being subject to their whims and greed. And then just real quickly on the shutdown thing. The shutdown, in my opinion, is just a big political dog and pony show.
Hear, hear.
And I think it's great if they shut the government down. In fact, my daughter works for the federal government.
So is she on holiday right now?
Sorry?
Is she on holiday right now?
Yeah, she got furloughed, and she's loving it. She's absolutely loving it.
What is she doing?
Shopping for the first time.
Reading
like
a good book?
And guess what? I'm pretty sure, not 100%, they're all going to get paid for their time off anyway.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well, yeah, get on the federal team, buddy. Here you go.
Well, it's actually illegal to pay them later for that because that appropriates money now that they don't have the authorization for.
Well, they may very well have it in some slush fund that they've already put away for a rainy day.
The government has slush funds? Wow.
You know what, caller? You raise a really good point by saying, hey, if we could all get independent. But another response to these moves from KIUC and government is if we took it over.
What?
Yeah, actually got in more involved. Now, the federal government is...
Well, if you believe they count the votes, that might be correctly. That might be one way to go.
Well, with the federal government, it's kind of hard to say because it's so big and it's so sprawling and it's so far away that it's not easy to get your arms around the whole beast. But KIUC is a relatively human-sized, affair, and it's here on the island. And, you know, I got over 2,000 votes last time when I ran, so... I don't see why someone else couldn't get up there and do it again.
Well, someone should, and you should also, and little by little things can change. That's true if you go through the political process.
I tell you what, if I was on the board, I would not be voting to raise the surcharge on analog meters. That's downright mean.
And it is, however, the norm for what's going on in the mainland. It's not unique.
Yeah, there's a lot of resistance to the smart meters on the mainland, too.
No, but I mean they're charging if you choose to opt out.
Right.
Yeah, but ours is a co-op, and a co-op shouldn't be mean to its own members. That's just not right. That's like abusive.
Ours is a co-op in name alone, much as our so-called democracy is as well. What we really have is an idiocracy. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
Idiocracy, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should check that out,
Dave. One of my favorite movies.
I'll get you an armchair, Dave. I'll get you a nice comfy armchair and you can sit and watch the whole movie.
You can watch some Satellite Sam and...
Stingray Sam.
Stingray Sam and then Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, it's a good one.
Okay, well, we all must have something better than this to do, so I'm going to go try to find it and do it.
All right, thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
You have another caller who's been sitting by.
I do.
Aloha, caller. Thanks for joining in. You're on the air.
Oh, hi there. Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, good. Well, we have this most wonderful Hawaiian word called hui.
Hui.
And, yeah, hui. Hui is when you pull together, when you put a handful of folks together to get something accomplished instead of all trying to stand alone, separately, yelling to the moon like a lost wolf and getting no attention from the big boys.
Well, then hui must be our Hawaiian word of the day for today, anyway.
Oh, well, that would be fabulous. Anyway, the bottom line is after I gave up electricity in June of 2009, I started seriously. I have lots of wind. I named my property Ala Makana 27 years ago, Ala Makani, because it was the path of the wind. So I started looking into all these optional sources of free energy, which is what I believe was intended and all along by the big guy upstairs, or whatever you believe in. Keakua did plan for us. Nature works a certain way. But the truth is that for one person to put solar, the kinds on their roof these days is pretty magnificent. But if a handful of neighbors all agree, and all hui together, they could get one generator and share it. They could get solar panels based on which roofs had which angle for the day, and then let it switch around so they can generate energy. And the truth is, as long as the KIUC makes it illegal for you to sell that energy if you hook up with them.
But it doesn't make it, it's not illegal to share the energy.
It's not illegal to give it away.
It's not illegal to share.
It's not illegal to share it, and it's not illegal to make a hui to co-own those items that would be really, really tough for an individual family to purchase.
Mm-hmm. Good
and
point.
And it wouldn't hurt the Kirakakis to learn how this stuff works so they can carry it on, you know?
Good point.
Anyway, just wanted to toss those thoughts out, and thank you again for the show.
All right. Well, thank you, caller.
And folks, remember, separately, we're just little twigs against some pretty big trees that have been taking over and usurping our freedoms and on all levels for so long. But together,
we are mighty. We are mighty.
They don't have a chance. But it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. Let's hooey together.
All right, hooey
get
up.
Squeaky.
Hooey.
Over and out. Aloha, ahui ho.
Aloha. It's on. Aloha, caller. You're in the hooey.
Hey, Jonathan, I heard from reliable sources you had 3,000 votes.
I had 2,248 votes.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, because I flex my math muscle.
Right. Well, that's too bad you didn't win, but because you were supposed to.
Well, you know, there's always next year.
I guess he was done. Hey, I've got a couple of public service announcements I need to play for you. Check this out.
It's story time. Fun stories read aloud by parents and children's book authors to your keiki. Wednesday, October 9th from 10 to 11 a.m. at Blue House Booksellers, upstairs in the Dragon Building in Old Kapaa Town. Everybody is welcome, and family participation is encouraged. Bring your favorite kids' book and share. More information at 822-4111 or online at bluehousebooksellers.com.
Hey, aloha. This is Marin, inviting you to tune in to KKCR on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Acoustic Luau, featuring the best of contemporary singer-songwriters, acoustic blues, rock, gospel, and world beat. It's all about great music, a delectable selection of tasty sound treats. That's Acoustic Luau, Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m., right here on KKCR.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
Yep, in 23 minutes there. Marin will be the host of the Acoustic Luau.
Who's going to host today?
I'm going to tell him who is going to be on the phone. Here, check this out.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that up, but I just wanted to make a real short statement about what you said earlier about what they're expecting to get out of it, because their words through the Garden Island say everything, and it's real brief.
What do they say? Oh, okay, great. Read it to us.
Yeah, it says about 10% of the utility's 30,000 customers have opted not to use the smart meters, according to the KIUC release. The co-op estimates the cost of reading and servicing those 3,000 non-standard meters, you know, the old ones, up from $2,700 one month ago will be about $340,000 a year, less than $1 per month for every one of its members. And then later down it says not everyone is thrilled at the prospect of an additional charge. Anyway, I got to go. I just wanted to get that out to you since you were doing the numbers earlier.
All right, well, thank you. You know, it seems to me if it's a co-op and we're in it all together, you know, what's a buck so that everybody in the co-op is happy?
Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is somehow it's really easy to vote. One question, you check yes or no online or in the mail or something like that and let everybody have a vote. Maybe they vote for it, maybe they don't. That's the deal. There's no vote in here. Co-op member implies vote. There's none of that, so that's why I say they're aggressive. Anyway, I got to go. Talk to you guys later.
All right, thank you for calling in, Carl. Appreciate that.
Okay, I looked on the Internet about the government slowdown of the Clinton era. There were two of them in the Clinton administrations.
Okay.
One was 5 days and the other was 3 weeks.
3 weeks. My favorite government shutdown was in the 2000 elections when they didn't have a president for like a month. That was awesome.
Oh, when they were counting the votes?
Yeah, they were like, who's the next president going to be? We don't know. We don't have one. Everybody's free. I love that.
Yeah, the way it worked out was not...
it didn't work out so well, no. But for that time being, that there was like those shining moments of freedom.
Yeah.
When it was indeterminate. I thought that was pretty beautiful.
Okay, let's see. Got another issue here, another news story. Bill number 2491... the pesticide
and GMO
right to
bill,
know,
the right to know
right
bill,
to know bill was amended and passed out of committee last Friday.
So it was.
And it moves to the full Kauai County Council for consideration.
I think that's going
to
be on October 8th.
So a week from yesterday.
A week from the 1st.
Well, usually their meetings are on Wednesday, right?
Typically, yes.
Do they have a committee of the whole? Is that the committee of the whole meeting, or is there another meeting for that?
I think it's the committee of the Okole.
Okay.
No, that's not right. I misspoke. I didn't say that.
That's right.
No. The Committee of the Whole.
But anyway, it was amended and passed. So some of the amendments then changed the buffer zones around
roads.
Roads, yeah.
Yeah, that
so
galls
eliminated
me.
That.
That galls me. You know why?
Why
I was talking to a friend of mine about this today, and she said she was driving along the up to Wailua Falls one afternoon, and a big sprayer was there on the side of the road, and the wind was blowing, and a big plume of pesticide just wafted over her car. And before she could even roll the windows up, she got dosed in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't think that makes sense to have no buffer zones by roads. I think it makes more sense to have a stronger buffer zone by a school because kids are there all day long.
Yeah.
And you're driving. You're not there all day long. You're just driving by for a short while. But if it happens to be the time when you're going by, boom, you get it in the face. That's uncool.
Right.
So they could maybe.
I mean, they misrepresented that issue, too. They were saying that, if we have to do a 500-yard buffer zone around all these things, then 90% of our lands will be unusable.
No, they made it clear that they just meant the documented county and state roads, not any of the Cane Hall roads, none of that.
Right.
But I just want to put a plug out there and, folks listening, I'm sure, to have many feelings about what should be put back into the bill before it gets passed. But I would like to see 100-foot buffers reinstated around roads at a minimum because it's just not cool. I mean, we live on an island where there's often only one road between where you are and where you need to go. And if it's your job, you don't have a choice about when you have to travel along that road. So I'm hoping that they can fix that. And I'm sure that callers have other ideas about what else they'd like to see fixed on Bill 2491. So I'm hoping in the next, till the end of the show, we can talk about that because I think that's real important.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. You're loud and clear.
Oh, excellent. Well, I wanted to tell you about two friends of mine that had a baby boy about 2 years ago. And at that time, they were working for Pioneer. They live down in Indian Beach. They're homeless at the moment. And I just met their son, and he's the most beautiful little boy. And I'd been playing with him for a couple of days, but not
Was he
really...
tired?
What's that?
Was he tired after you've been playing with him for so long?
No, he wasn't tired. He's fully functional, and naptime is naptime for little kids, right? So they're tired at that point. But the next day, the father said, "Here, could you grab Ty for me and hold it for a second?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "Have you ever checked out his left hand?" And I said, "What do you mean, checked out his left hand?" He goes, "Well, check it out." And I looked, and he's got two thumbs.
Are they next to each other, or are they on opposite sides of his hand?
They're right next to each other, and the one is fully functional, and the second one is smaller and attached like it would be the sixth digit.
So he's got six fingers on one hand.
Yes, he does. Two thumbs. And he can't feel it. He can't move it, but it's there. And at the time the mama was pregnant, she was working in the seed room at Pioneer, and the father was working out in the fields. And they didn't know about GMOs until 2 weeks ago. And this baby's going to be 2 years old.
What were they paying attention to at the time?
What's that?
What were they paying attention to if they didn't know about GMOs and they were working there?
I think Pioneer doesn't really tell the truth to their workers about what's really going on. I think they thought that they were sorting corn seeds and spraying insecticides in the fields,
Huh.
Yeah. So my question to you folks is this. Is there a class action suit, and is there a lawyer, I thought that there was, doing a suit for families, for folks that have, children with abnormal, chips going on?
Yeah, there is a lawsuit on the west side. They're suing the seed companies for some pesticide exposures. I'm not sure who's spearheading that effort or how to get a hold of them or not, but maybe one of our
Felicia
calls.
Knows, yeah?
Maybe one of our Akamai listeners can call in and give that information. In fact, this is a request for just that.
Absolutely. It'd be great because, they're living on the beach in a tent, homeless,
And you know, they're happy. We live on Kauai. It's not really hard to be homeless here. But if those folks at Pioneer are, you know, they, you know, were the reason that that little boy has, you know, some that shouldn't be there, then those folks should pay. They need to be off our island, you know. Monsanto and Pioneer and all those guys, they need to go to another planet as far as I'm concerned, because there's really no time for us to have them here. There really isn't. That little boy didn't have a choice. He never had a choice. You know, there's no buffer zone for pregnant mamas, right?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. We have another caller standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha. First, I'd like to answer the woman about the
fantastic.
Box.
Thank you so much.
She could get a hold of Kyle Smith.
Kyle Smith?
Kyle Smith is the attorney for the plaintiff. He's on Oahu.
Okay.
For the West Side.
Do you have contact information for him?
I wish I did.
All right,
we'll
check this out.
Clayton Kubo, if you're listening, call in, Clayton.
All right.
I found an article on the internet that says Honolulu attorney Gerard Jervis and Las Vegas attorney Kyle Smith.
That's them.
Okay.
Yes.
Should be easy enough to find.
All right. Thank you, caller.
I'd like to give a little bit of mono from some people that I got from the West Side.
And please.
So here's the thing. If the council won't go for the moratorium and they won't do a full EIS, then the buffer zone, they don't want to pass a bill that's only going to help five people. They want to pass a bill that's going to protect the people that are living around those neighborhoods and those areas and those schools and the hospital and the roadways. So we want...
And the bus stops, for God's sake.
And the bus stops. They're going to have to increase them. There should be a quarter mile. Because of the way the winds are on Kauai, they change on a moment's notice.
Sure.
We're on an island, and we're in climates that change so rapidly. I spent last weekend on the West Side, and I watched Syngenta spraying the field next to the house that I was at. And I could see the drift. It wasn't coming toward that house, but what if the wind had changed that moment? And within a half hour later, the wind changed again. We need quarter-mile buffer zones. If they're not going to do a full EIS, they're not going to do a moratorium. Not only that, they have to protect the West Side more, because this 500-foot thing, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's only at 100 feet around roadways, streams, rivers, and shorelines.
Yeah, I don't know if that's enough.
And parks, public parks.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what it says? I question if that's accurate, because sometimes they don't get the details right in the newspaper. Yeah, I hate to break your bubble on that one, Dave. But the reporters, you know, they try and do a good job, but they don't get it right 1,000% of the time. And I watched the testimony for that, and I'm pretty sure it's 0 feet when signage has been placed. Can you confirm that, caller?
It is 0 feet when signage is in place, and I think that they did that for Kauai Coffee.
Yeah.
Because they only spray 8 times a year, and they don't want the buffer zone around their road
right.
that goes through the coffee plantation.
But the problem is that both those roads, their plantations buffer up against both the roads that go in there. So if you want to go from anywhere on the West Side to anywhere on the rest of the island, I'm sorry, you got to go past their field. There's no other road that you can take. So if they're spraying, you're going to get dosed when you drive through. It doesn't matter if you have a sign there or not. The sign's not going to stop you from getting dosed.
It's not.
So that's not okay with me.
There's a lot of things that aren't okay, but I just needed to tell you that the West Side says the buffer zones aren't big enough. And that comes from a lot of West Side Ohana of mine.
All right, well, that's good to know.
Well, it could still be amended in the general council. County Council, so maybe, you know, if they were so inclined or lobbied adequately, they might change that back.
Yeah, and then, so, can we talk about the agenda a little bit?
Sure.
It's supposed to stop at 1 p.m.
Yeah, that was kind of a mystery when Andy Parks first brought that up. Did you figure out what's going on?
No, but how can they take public testimony from everybody who shows up and have all these different agenda items and be finished by 1 p.m., it seems pretty impossible.
Well, yeah, I just did my math muscle again, and it doesn't add up.
Okay.
But I don't know the answer to that, caller.
I don't know. Maybe another caller can answer.
Well, we do have Akamai callers, and I want to thank you for the information about Kyle Smith, because that's much appreciated.
Okay. All right. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. And our phone lines are open here before the end of the hour.
We only have about 5 or 6 more minutes for phone calls, but give us a call, 826-7771. Or if you're one of our smart, lucky listeners over in Oahu, give us a call on our toll-free line at 866-275-1112.
Or call us on your cell phone.
I don't think we've had a call from Oahu yet.
Well, have we solicited calls from Oahu?
Oh, every week we do.
All right, well, let's think for 3 seconds. Let's just think about Oahu. Let's conjure
our
up.
Our intention is for
intention to get somebody from Oahu to call us. And if you know someone on Oahu, have them call us at 808-826-7771. And our phone lines will be standing by.
Okay, well, let's see. Another change in the bill here. They got rid of the permitting process. They got rid of the environmental impact statement.
Yeah, and what are they replacing that with? That's not clear to me.
They call it an environmental and public health impact study, which sounds like a name they just made up. There probably isn't
a rigorous
guideline for doing that.
Hmm.
I mean, it sounds wonderful, but unless there's an established guideline, like an environmental impact statement is a very mature process. It is well defined in the regulations and in
sure, it has
the
steps
guidelines.
And stages and stuff.
Exactly, public meetings and how you address them and everything. And so it's a very mature process. It's unfortunately very rigorous and expensive as well, which I think scared some of the council persons, the committee persons anyway. But they called for an environmental and public health impact study, which I don't even know what that means or if there's guidelines for that. So it may be a process that's easily manipulated if it's not well defined. And also it will be a joint fact-finding study, which I guess all sides get to participate in that? I don't know.
I don't know what that means. But we've got 2 calls standing by, so we're going to try and get to those real quick for the end of the show. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Try and make it quick. Welcome to Out of the Box.
You keep saying they changed it. It was 2 council people that were instrumental in the change, Joanne Yukimura and Nadine Nakamura.
Well, let's not forget that Tim Bynum is the one who offered up the elimination of the setbacks on the road. So I'm hoping that Tim can correct that.
The other 2 cut some of the buffer zones down to 100 feet.
Well, I would be happier with 100-foot buffer on roads than 0-foot buffer on roads. So I don't know about
you.
Well,
that's what it says in the paper, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Okay.
Sorry, Garden Island.
They got it wrong.
I'm pretty sure about that. What comment did you have, caller?
That's it. I just think that the bill would have gone forward had those 2 not pushed for their... They're the ones who are instrumental in the EIS permitting and moratorium disappearing. And right. I think that the fact that it's going forward was a testament to some compromise, not because it was intended. I think they were trying to sabotage the bill.
Interesting perspective. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, caller. And we've got one more, last caller of the day, caller. Go ahead. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Getting a lot of feedback from the radio.
Oh, turn the radio down.
Turn the radio down.
Oh, GMO. The true definition of what we want is GE, genetically engineered. Everything
sure.
God's green earth is GMO. Everything's been cross-pollinated. Everything's been... If you're going to go into a court and you're going to deal with a flipping lawyer, you better be able to get your guns in the line. And the truth is... We are dealing with genetically engineered organisms where they cross a bacteria, where they take a jellyfish, where they take a fish from the frozen north or whatever, and they splice in a gene at 600 miles an hour using gold or platinum in a nitrogen-filled environment. This GMO is inherently going to cost us the battle because when you go up against the lawyer who speaks Middle English, it's the wrong term.
All right, GE, everybody, genetically engineered.
Everybody says GMO, and it's going to screw us. It just is. When we go up against a lawyer, this is what the term has to be, GE. Because we're going to get serious here. This whole thing with the bill, with the buffer zones, whatever all the They want to keep us talking because they're going to continue to plant. They have over 48 years worth of back-to-back patents. Each one of the patents is 12 years. Each seed is genetically engineered to be matched with the chemical combination of fertilizers to be able to absorb the maximum amount of nutrients, and it won't be compatible with any other one. They want to control the world's food supply.
No, no, they want to feed the world.
Bullshit. They want to reduce the amount of gasoline that farmers are using so that they'll be sweethearted into thinking their profits are going to be higher. They're going to have like 10% less on their production, but no animals will eat the shit, so they won't have any waste.
No, you cannot cuss on the radio, yeah. So try and keep it clean, especially when you're talking about clean food and clean farms and clean practices.
People go to different places to get their education. Well, mine came from the Marine Corps, and all my acronyms and all my adjectives have a cuss word every fourth word or so.
Well, you just got to keep it clean. Thanks for making the effort, okay?
As conscious as I possibly can. As it is right now, they have back-to-back patents for 48 years.
All right, well, you know what? We're running out of time today, but we're going to have to this is something that we'll pick up again in the future, so don't you worry about that, caller.
Aloha, and people, be aware it's G, not GMO, because everything's GMO.
All right, thanks,
okay.
Caller.
Aloha. Okay, that's all the time we have for calls. And up in a couple minutes, Marin will be on the Acoustic Luau. So check that out.
Yeah, so I thought we'd go out with some music from Stingray Sam. He's got a little lullaby he's going to sing to you. And when I first heard this, I just thought this was the sweetest little thing. Because Stingray Sam was in his spaceship, and he was talking to this little girl. And he just rescued her. But it was late at night on the spaceship, and so she had to go to bed. And so
it's late at night
on the spaceship.
Isn't it always night up in space?
Well, that's part of the beauty of it.
Oh,
Dave.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And so he sings her this little song, and we're gonna go out with this. This is a lullaby by Stingray Sam to the little girl.
Okay. Aloha. Well, thanks for all the calls. A lot of great information today. See you back here in 2 weeks.
Oh, with the mayor.
With the mayor. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's
the mayor
right.
will be on the
yeah.
show in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now.
So get ready for the mayor, folks.
Aloha.
Aloha.